This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone to episode 168 of A Touchline Rant. I am Mitchell Gaird and I'm joined by my tag team partner extraordinaire, Mr. Luke Smalley, or aka
Hello.
Smash. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I've got my black leather studded chaps on, ready too. To go.
Me too.
In different continents in bondage.
I was going to say to kick that off in response to what you said? I was going to say it's quite dedicated and early to be wearing black leather chaps in Australia at 7:30 in the morning. But then I thought that's weird at any time, isn't it, when you're in front of a computer in a podcast.
Especially on what is a football podcast to start going on about this wearing black. Yeah,
it's a good job we haven't got, you know, long time listeners would have watched some of our YouTube versions of some of our podcasts before the days of social distancing, and it's probably a good job that we don't have that feature at the moment, the way the world is, because yeah, but I don't think people would be listening to what we're saying, would they? They'd be too distracted.
They would.
Especially if you get your Mr. Fuji out with Mr. Fuji's cane.
I ain't getting my Mr. Fuji out. It might slip out, but
if you're going to get it out, it's going to be by accident. It's not going to be.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing a Paul Scholes.
Who knows where the podcast will take you. No one wanted to see. Yeah. Who knows? Your best laid plans might go up in smoke. There you are. Got something to look forward to potentially. At least an audio version. That'll work well, won't it, on a podcast of Mr. Fuji.
is Mr. Fuji's come out again?
Well, we're going to kick off our first order of the day. We're going to talk title race, but I feel like that's topic number two since we've covered leather chaps and Mr. Fuji already. But the title race, Liverpool and Man United a couple of days ago played out a 0-0 draw. Obviously, two teams battling at the top of the table. A lot was talked before the game about Man United's title credentials. Would they be able to? Will they be able to kind of stand or keep up with the pace as the title race progresses? Luke, United fan extraordinaire, what did we learn from that game, 0-0's result? Are we any wiser coming out of that game than we were going in about both of their title credentials and where this race is going to go with those two?
I think what the game taught us was Liverpool are not at the races as much as they have been previously. Liverpool were very good for, say, 55 minutes. And then after that, they seemed to tire. And United just basically kept them out. And United arguably had the better chances. And Rashford, you know, you can see what they were trying to do. They're trying to catch Liverpool on a break, and Rashford were just keen to do it a lot of times. But weirdly, what that game has taught me, one, it's given me a bit more faith in this United team because we soaked up that pressure and we did it well. And we still caught them on the break. We stuck to the game plan well. Ooh. And if you'd offered me 0-0 at the start of the day, I'd just bitten your hand off. But what it's actually told me is more about Man City. To be honest, like Man City are in a ridiculous reign of form, you know, sort of almost out of the glare of the spotlight.
Yeah.
And Man City, if you know, they've got a game in hand now, and they could arguably become the favourite very, very quickly. Man City, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Am I barking up the wrong tree?
No, absolutely not. I think Man City, they were, I think, probably for the last kind of month, have sort of gone slightly under the radar and quietly chalked up some clean sheets, or several clean sheets over the last couple of months. But when they started doing that, it was kind of, they were way back in kind of sixth or seventh or whatever it was. And while no one thought that they were going to finish there, they kind of just sort of, it kind of slipped under the radar and got back into the hunt. I think over the last couple of weeks, the spotlight has come back on them again, because suddenly people have kind of gone, yeah, well, look, well, they've kind of sorted their defence out finally. They've got, you know, Diaz and Stones in the centre playing really well. And they've got some consistency, and they've struck up a partnership. And, you know, clearly one of the areas where Pep has tried to kind of fix over the last couple of seasons is the defence and get it right. And they've gone through loads of centre halves that have not really worked and never really nailed down a place. And they bought Diaz to kind of, I think, give them a bit of a leader. It was that sort of role that he wanted to play. So it wasn't just bring him in as a defender, but bring him as a defender and a leader of the defence. And it's really worked. But then the kind of reemergence of John Stones in responding to the challenge in front of him, really, because I think many people thought his career was kind of done at City, has been fantastic, really. And I think that's probably something that he wouldn't have expected. I don't think Pep would have expected it at all. I mean, they brought in Ake, Nathan Ake, and he's been injured. Laporte's been injured. So he's kind of been forced into Stones getting another run. And then all of a sudden, Stones and Diaz have been absolute rocks at the back. And
Diaz has made a massive impact.
A massive impact. And then suddenly now you've got, you know, they're always going to have the attacking prowess, even without Aguero being injured and even without Jesus and really sometimes playing with De Bruyne or even Foden as that middle top at times. They're still always going to have, they're always going to have goals in them. So City now have kind of solved a bit of the puzzle at the back. And yeah, and I think the result against, I think when people really thought, well, they're back, City, was, I think that when they beat, they won at Chelsea, and the manner they won at Chelsea, and then even though it wasn't in the league, the win at Man United was just kind of, because they lost the last few against United, I think. They had got a few over on Pep, and then suddenly they were like just laying down a marker a little bit for the league by that win in the League Cup. So City, I think, they look up for the fight, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Can I throw another dog into this race?
Go for it.
Leicester.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's throwing a fox in.
Yeah.
Leicester are 100% still in this title race in a way that I don't think Spurs are or will be. I see Spurs trying to get, you know, fighting it out for fourth, basically, on current sort of, you know, I don't, that's just how I reckon it will pan out. But Leicester, they had a little bit of a wobble somewhat, but they're back, and Vardy's come back, and you know, you've got Tielemans is performing and Didi's performing. Harvey Barnes has been sensational. Could they quietly how seriously could they challenge for this league title? Like, they are hounding those other teams.
Yeah, I think they can. How seriously can they challenge? I think Leicester's strange because this season they've had some fantastic results, but then they've kind of, and then when you're thinking back to the win at 5-2 at City, you know, they've also lost a few games against teams further down the table, and they lost to Villa, aren't that far down the table, but obviously a home loss to Villa was disappointing. They lost 3-0 at home to West Ham. Yeah. Excuse me. So I think with Leicester, if they've got attacking prowess, and again, I think it's that it's that defensively, if they can be more sound, which I think they have over the past few weeks. I think Ndidi, as you said, has been, I think he's a really important player for them. And he's played recently, he's played both in midfield and at the back as well. And he's done a good job there in both instances. Barnes has brought the creativity, as you said. But I think even people like the key to Leicester, I think getting back in it is not necessarily the performances of, you almost take the performances of Vardy as a given that he's going to get goals. You almost take performances from players like Tielemans as a given. And Barnes is slightly a bit of a bonus because I think he can go through those kind of purple patches. But I think it's almost the players like your Dennis Pratt's and your kind of Ndidi's and, you know, those, Fofana has been brilliant this season. But I think it's almost those players.
Justin.
I think it's those players that are kind of there, they're sort of, I don't know, I guess, I think I'm doing them a disservice when I say kind of steady Eddies. But I think if they can get the consistency out of that rest, that squad around them, then I think, as we've said, potentially this season, you're not going to have to kind of get 90 points to win it. Then they can build a bit of momentum. No. And obviously, they're probably, the fact that they did it a few seasons ago, or was it whatever it was? I can't remember. Was it 14, 15, 15, 16?
It feels like a lifetime ago. 2020.
But
it is like 27 years ago.
Yeah, but I think that, having that experience of having done it before, and there are some players that are still around from that, then I think that will obviously help because they feel like, well, we've done it before. Why not? So if you can build up a bit of momentum, then they play some lovely stuff, and I agree with you. I think that actually, when you're looking at all the people that are in the mix, I actually think at the moment, if I was a betting man, then I'd probably say that Leicester have got more of a chance than Chelsea as well as Tottenham.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Basically, with this title race, one of these teams needs to be let off the leash.
Yeah.
And they'll grab the title because everyone's stuttering at different times. Do you want to move on to our second topic of conversation tonight? I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, well, let's do it. Let's do it. So a little bit further down the table, sort of like second to two-thirds of the way down, is it, I'd say. They've been around there for a few seasons. Newcastle. I want to talk Newcastle because a lot's been discussed.
Why do you want to talk Newcastle?
My tag team partner friend. I want to talk Newcastle because they're an interesting one. They're a conundrum. And there's been a lot said about the team and Mr. Steve Bruce over the last few weeks. I watched Newcastle play.
It's like a Bassett hound.
It's a Bassett. He was. Yeah. He is a Bassett hound. I watched them play at Sheffield United. And they were obviously there was the sending off, and they were a little bit hampered by that. But they were pretty dreadful at Sheffield United. Watched them play at Arsenal a couple of days ago, and they were pretty dreadful. I think they were uninspired. Something they drew at home to Fulham, pretty uninspiring there. You know, so I think over the last few weeks, I've seen quite a bit of Newcastle, and I've read a few stats that they're kind of, let's have a look. I'm going to bring them up here for you. I mean, got them in front of me here. Wonderful stats. So they're in the league. They're 19th for shots. And this is from Daniel Story. So I credit him for this. Shots on target, 18th. Chances created, 18th. Touches in the opponent's box, 19th. Their 20th possession. They're 19th for shots faced, and that means in the sense that they face more, the second worst for the number of shots faced. So they're not 19th as in a good way, and 18th for shots on target faced. I look at Newcastle, and I think Bruce has got a bit of flack lately, but then my question really is, what really should they be anticipating? You know, Mike Ashley is someone that has copped a lot of stick from them, hasn't invested obviously as much as the fans want, Should they, is that what their lot is? Is that, you know, is that what they should be expecting? Or are we looking at a side here that actually needs a bit of a wake-up call, that needs a bit of a kind of overhaul for their style of football, the way they play? Is it going to happen under Bruce? Newcastle United, what do you think, Luke?
Well, this is why I'm excited to talk this. I'm glad I've got a little platform here. Any Newcastle fans listening, don't listen to the next few bits.
Look away now.
Newcastle need to have a word with themselves and ask themselves who the hell they think they are. Because the way they bang on about them, you'd think they're bloody Real Madrid or something. They've got such a superiority complex about that club. This is a club that had the record goal scorer in the Premier League in Alan Shearer the season after coming second. They came second and challenged United, and they went out and bought Alan Shearer. Mm. They didn't win the league. That will forever be one of the biggest jokes I've ever heard, because they had a great side, that Newcastle team, and they added Alan Shearer to it. Like, how they didn't win the league is ridiculous. They always go on about them being a big club. They're a big club in Newcastle because there's only one club there. They're not a big club. They are, unfortunately, I like Newcastle a lot. I think they're a good team. And they've got some really good players. But it's the fact that there's so much pressure to succeed at Newcastle. And why? Why? Do you know what I think the problem is? The movie Goal. I think what they've done is warped the fans, because they're like, oh, they're making a movie out of it. Shut up. You're not a big club. They came to you and made it there because you were cheap.
See, the thing is, the thing with Newcastle as well is, I mean, we're going to get loads of hate mail here. But I even remember back to the days when Alan Pardew was in charge, and they were... What did they come? They were fighting for the Champions League places under Pardew. They were right there. I think
signing players like Johan.
They were 11. In 2011, 2012, they came fifth under Alan Pardew, and they were.
That's nosebleed.
They weren't. But the fans weren't happy then, though, were they? Came back.
The fans are never happy. They're never happy.
And they came...
Like Mitch, yeah. I'm telling you. Open up whatever music streaming platform is your preference, and just search Jimmy Nail and listen to Crocodile Shoes over and over and over again. And that's the Newcastle fans right there. Dreary, never happy. Oh, it's always raining. Mike Ashley. Oh, Dennis Wise.
So the one, I think, from I look back at the previous managers of Newcastle, and it said Alan Pardew didn't go down so very well. After Alan Pardew, John Carver, that's a blast from the past, isn't it? John Carver finished 15th. I think, obviously, he didn't have a full season there, I don't think. Rafa Benitez came in, and Benitez was... he got him ready. He did. I mean, I suppose he probably did. Again, he didn't have the full season in charge, but he did have a fair number of games in that season. Got him straight back up, and then they came 10th, 13th, 13th. Last season, they finished with... So their points totals over the last three seasons, the last two under Benitez were 44 and 45. So the two full seasons they were in the Premier League under Benitez, they had 44 points, they came 10th, and 45 points, they came 13th. Steve Bruce last season, they came 13th again, exactly the same position as Benitez, and they got 44 points, so only one less. So if you're... So answer me this, and maybe... You don't know the answer, given how you kind of your head scratching at the previous answer. Why are Newcastle fans less enamoured by Steve Bruce when he finishes the league in the same position as Benitez did in the season before, and only one less point? At the moment, they're 15, so they're only two positions further down from when they finished last under Benitez and last season under Benitez. And there's plenty of the season to go. So what's getting them up in arms again? Any ideas?
Oh, I mean, this is a bit where I've sort of, I've I've stated my case for Newcastle fans needing to.
I mentioned Daniel Sturridge's stats. Is that it? Is that what the fact that they're so god awful, but they actually they're doing a bit better than they should?
Well, what I think, I have a bit of sympathy for him when it comes to Steve Bruce, because he's a very uninspiring man, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah,
like the like, if anyone is suffering from premature ejaculation, Steve Bruce is the man to cure that for you. Do you know what I mean? Just think of Steve Bruce. Done. Job fit. That's fine. I've retreated for the time being.
Mr. Fuji's come back in. Mr. Fuji's came back.
If you were waiting on a new manager and they brought in Steve Bruce, you'd be as upset as a Catholic priest finding out he's not going to get any new altar boys in.
I think you would, yeah.
He's not nice, is he? Do you know what I mean? And Steve Bruce, not only is he such an uninspiring and he seems like, you know, dinosaur of the game now, but he also did it by pissing off Sheffield Wednesday when they were good to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, God, not only is it Steve Bruce, please come in with a bad rap. Like, I felt sorry for Newcastle fans. So, like, oh, my God, everyone hates our new manager and we don't even want
him. So, do you think with the Newcastle fans, in fairness to them, that although that they're kind of hovering around the same position under Bruce as they did under Benitez, that actually it's a mixture of kind of, well, actually their fears of an uninspiring appointment in Steve Bruce are coming to fruition in the sense that, as I said, they're so low, they're second worst for shots on target and 19th for shots and 18th for shots on target. They're creating hardly any chances. Is it that they just want to see, they'd rather see a bit of flair and a bit more attacking football, and hey, who knows if they come 15th? Do they want to be Leeds? Do you think that's the answer? Do they want to be this? You know,
yeah, that's a great analogy because that's exactly they'd want to do it. That when Newcastle were at their best is when they had players like Davy Ginola and Fatino Espria,
Steve Howie.
I mean, I was going to say Beardsley, but he was a massive part of that club and their style. Beardsley in Ferdinand as well goes unrecognised how good of a job he did at Newcastle. Philippe Albert, they just were they had these players who could just switch it on. But then also, if it didn't work, they didn't have much, they weren't very solid. Do you know what they reminded me of? And it's going to annoy. There's two teams it reminds me of. And it reminds me of that Real Madrid side, obviously not for talent wise. But remember when they had all the Galacticos in and they actually won that goal? Because they had all these players who were brought in because of who they were.
Yeah.
But the phrase at the time was the Zidanes and the Pavons, because Pavon was a player who was just there. But no one knew who he was. He played for Real Madrid, but no one really knew him because Zidane was there and Carlos was there. Same with Newcastle. Like, I mean, they signed Dave Batty at one point. Like, Jesus. God, imagine that. Imagine if your transfer window was David Batty. You'd be like, nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for that. I think if they could have, like, these talismanic players, like they seem to have in Alan Saint-Maximin. And when he comes back, this
Almiron.
Is the voice of Almiron as well. The voice of Mr. Alex Skinner, our illustrious co-host of this parish. His voice is ringing in my head that I'm writing off Newcastle too soon. So just to they've got Saint-Maximin to come back. They've got Almiron. You know, they've got decent. They've got good players there who can turn it on when they want to, and. There are a lot worse sides.
We're going to talk about them in a minute. But I'll give you I'll share another opinion. Friend of the show, the Blender Coach.
I got a great roundup for Newcastle fans.
Before you do that, the Blender Coach, friend of the show, you know what his view on Newcastle was? He said this week. Feel sorry for Bruce. They expect so much, those Geordie fucks. Stay in the Prem is their goal. End of.
He's not wrong, though, is he?
He's not missing
his
wins. So, before you do this glorious wrap up on Newcastle, on the back of those wonderful words of the blender catch ringing in your ear, I'd be tempted with sides to say something's got to give here. You know, with this fans calling for a change of manager, the team not playing very good football, are they going to turn it around? Will Bruce have to do something completely different to keep in a job? But it's Mike Ashley we're talking about here, the Newcastle fan. So I start to wonder whether he might just, you know, like he kind of, when he offered Pardew that long-term contract when the fans wanted him out. Is Mike Ashley going to do the opposite? Is Bruce sort of as secure as he'll ever be in a job because he's pissing off his own fans?
Yeah, look, Steve Bruce is probably as secure as he ever is, because when they're not really looking, they probably won't be in a relegation fight just yet. And it's also because Mike actually doesn't actually give a shit. he is one of the worst owners of anything ever. He's like a retriever. He just sees an opportunity and pounces and makes money on it and then disappears. The problem is, no fucker wants Newcastle at the price that he needs them to pay for it. They're like, you're having a laugh. You're Newcastle. Who do you think you are?
What would be your summary on Newcastle then? I feel like you're ready for it.
Go on then. I'll sum this section up. Newcastle fans, I'm speaking directly to you here. Your team might look shit at the minute. Your manager is an uninspiring... a Great Dane of a lump of useless lad who's a I love Steve Bruce when he's a player, shit manager. He's just howling at the moon most of the time, just doing nothing. However, you've got decent players to come in, and you're not as shit as Sheffield United.
That's great, isn't it? There you are. Reasons to look up for your Newcastle United fan. Let's go on. Speaking of Sheffield United, we've slowly moved, migrated down the Premier League table. We start with the title race. We went to Newcastle in that no man's land. At the moment, anyway, no man's land. And then we've moved further down.
I'd rather be in no man's land.
We've moved down to the relegation scrap, which has taken a few twists and turns over the last few weeks. Sheffield United, as I mentioned, they beat Newcastle. So they're on the ball.
That says a lot, Newcastle fans. I do apologise.
They're
still
on
listening.
The board. West Brom, they won at Wolves. A nice twist and turn there. Newcastle. And then we had Fulham have picked up a little bit over the last few weeks. They got that draw at Tottenham. They've looked more solid generally over the last few weeks.
Fulham are off. Yeah, they're off life support.
They're still ill. So come on then.
They're off life support, but they'll be running a bloody marathon anytime soon.
Do you think that actually? I mentioned the twists and turns. We're still looking at the odds on favourites for going down being those that have been in the mix, or do you think there's going to be a few shock surprises from people getting out of it and back in and dragged into trouble?
Right. At the minute, I think Sheffield United are...
Sheffield United, they probably are.
Yeah, apologies. I mean, but they got a minus 22 goal difference. They got 5 points from 19 games. That is, regardless of how good they were last season, you're shit. You're making a mockery of this.
They're going to have to, the form table for the from now to the season for them to stay up is going to have to be, they're going to have to be like Europa League sort of form, maybe Champions League form to get out of it.
They'd have to be unreal. Like, I literally, basically what's happening with Sheffield United right now is I'm walking into my house. They're the pet dog that's run up to me and is trying to get my attention. And I'm batting it away with a newspaper. Just go, get down, or I'm going to take you back to the pound. Don't make me read Paul O'Grady. But they're just... I think also, I think they're done. I think at the minute, I would still say West Brom are going to go down. And on recent performances, they have got enough to clear it. And they've got extra games on some teams above them. But I don't like, I think Burnley are looking dodgy. Like their strikers are just not scoring at all. I think they've scored like something like 4 goals between all their attacking players this season. Like, without if you don't, Burnley is still as solid as they were.
Do you know Chris Burnley has scored the least goals in the league this season? They scored 9 this season.
They have been
by
so
a long way.
Boring.
The next worst is Fulham have got 14, but Burnley have only scored 9 goals all season. And you think about it, they've played 17 games. 17 games and they've scored 9 goals.
That form, that offends me. That offends
offensive.
Me
we have to put explicit warning on this.
So. Yeah. Are you telling me that we have got a team in the apparent, what we're told all a bloody time on Sky Sports and in the media, is the best league in the world? We've got a team in it that scored 9 goals.
Well, I think what's most impressive is that actually the fact that they're 17th. And they've only got 2 games. They've played 17 games. So they've got a couple of games in hand on West Brom and Sheffield United, but they've played the same as Fulham. They've played and Brighton. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know whether to be offended or impressed, actually, that they've actually managed to get into 17th place with 16 points when they've only scored 9 goals.
But they've got someone who looks like a hemorrhoid. And it's just nothing about Burnley excites me in any way. Chris Wood is their asset, you know.
It is bonkers.
Horrendous. It just annoys me that Burnley are there. No offense, but I'd rather have Brentford. At least they're excited. Give me Leeds any day of the week over Burnley. Jeez.
I'm amazed at that. Sheffield United, who've got 5 points, have scored 16 goals. They've almost scored double the goals that Burnley have, but they've only got 5 points. And bottom three, Sheffield United, you've got West Brom. I think you're probably right. Those two, Sam's had a bit of encouragement lately, but they're still a big ask, isn't it? And they've played 19 already.
I would suggest West Brom need to get a result against City, which, you know, by the time you listen to this, might have happened, but it hasn't happened when we're recording this. If they get a result against City,
West Brom. They're not going to get a result against them. They just got beat by West Ham earlier.
No. They won't have heard this. They're playing West Brom next. They're playing West Brom on the 26th.
Who are? Man City. Oh, yes, I see. Okay, coming up.
So if West Brom can get a result against... Who did you think I was talking about? But I was.
I thought you said they were playing now at the time of recording. I was like, if they're playing now, they're doing really well. They have got a chance because there's more games coming out the woodwork. that's the equivalent of me you hanging on for a tag, like a hot tag in the tag team match, and the tag team the other we're facing is cut off the tag at the last minute, or miscommunication on the apron,
is it the option of we make the tag, but the tag team partner of the opposing side has got the referee's attention, so the ref doesn't see the tag, and you run into me. I'm running into one of us. We run in. We make go to make the hot save, and the ref is like, "Oi, out! You weren't tagging.
You didn't see it. Doesn't count. Get back on the apron."
Or I can't remember who did that. Well, I'm going on a complete tangent here, but I can't remember what match it was. But I remember watching one match where the bad guy side went up to the ref and made a clapping sound in his ear. So that the ref was like, when the good guys were like, they didn't make the tag. He's like, I heard it. But what I could never understand about that is it took just as long for him to go to the ref and make the clap in his ear.
He just made the tag.
Than it would have done if he just legally tagged his partner.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I can't work out. It's like when Demolition faced the Legion of Doom and Crush came out and hid underneath the ring, so they always had a fresh person. But it's, he had different makeup on.
Do the math.
Everything. This is what I can't work out about classic wrestling, is that every single person watching. He had long hair as well. Crush, Axe, the ref didn't.
Smash had a bit longer, but Axe had short hair. So if he's swapping with Axe, then surely the ref.
Yeah, bold at this point, and Crush adds basically, yeah, he just looked like Patrick Swayze in Point Break.
We digress, but yeah, and that everyone is the relegation scrap summed up. No, so Fulham, I think Fulham are. I mean, we all want Scott Parker to do well. He seems like a thoroughly nice chap. He looks like a First World War pilot, doesn't he?
He does. Also, Peaky Blinders have announced the next season's going to be their last.
He's going to be gutted, so he's got to do well now, isn't he? So, because they haven't won in the last five, but they have had four draws in a row. And then I look at some of the other worst forms. I don't know if Fulham are looking for people to kind of hunt down. You've got Burnley, Brighton are in a bit of trouble as well. We mentioned Newcastle, Wolves, three defeats and two draws in their last five. Jordan Lloyd. Podcast host, Wolves fan. Surely Wolves aren't going to get dragged in it, are they? Too much, surely.
The way you worded that, I thought you were addressing Jordan. I was
like, he's coming out from under the ring now. He's
going to
replace me.
Yeah, he's coming out. He's tagging me in. Wolves are just, I don't know. It's horrible. It's horrible watching it. Just having a mate who's a Wolves fan. Do you know what I mean? So I can't imagine how horrible it is being a Wolves fan right now. Like, they're too good to go down.
He's worried about the manager.
Relegation fight.
From our chats, he's worried about the managers.
Nuno has lost. Looks like he's lost his espirito.
Very good. He does, though, doesn't he? Yeah, and that's and you know, as good as they are, then that's going to filter. If that's true, which it looks like from the surface, Jordan, the guru and fountain of knowledge of all things Wolves, says that he sees it too. Then, if the players see that, then you know that could filter into the dressing room and then the performances, and suddenly, you know. Brucey's looking at that 14th position with Newcastle, thinking, I'm going to hunt you down.
Yeah, it's interesting watching it. It's horrible, but it is interesting watching it. Just thinking, how has it come to this? Like, if you're Wolves fans, like, how has it come to this? I just don't get it. I just, like, I'd be frothing at the mouth if I was a Wolves
fan
right now.
When we go back, we do our predictions at the start of the season. And we'll go back to our predictions at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And so they're still the ones which are locked in. But you've mentioned Sheffield United going down, doomed. West Brom, probably doomed. You know, more like 90% doomed as opposed to 99.99% doomed. Who's filling that? As it stands now, you've got Fulham in that position with 12 points. Burnley 16, Brighton 17. Newcastle 19, Wolves 22. Who do you reckon? Who's that third spot going to be filled by?
I think, ultimately, when all is said and done, I think it actually...
sun goes down at the end of the day, this moment in time.
At this moment in time, no word.
We're out of time this week, everyone.
I think Scott Parker's going to be fuming, and I think they're going to pull him going.
Fair enough. Yeah, play it safely. Play it safe for that prediction.
Yeah, I think I don't know. They've turned it around a bit. They've got a bit about it.
They got industry about them, but they might not have enough quality. They've got quality in pockets, but they've got I just think Burnley have got the nous to just win enough games 1-0 But I think Brighton, I think of all the teams down there that we've mentioned, I think Brighton, I think it's probably between Fulham and Brighton.
I think Brighton have just got a bit more quality about them than Fulham. Like individual quality. I think they've got players that can just turn it on just when they need them to.
There we are. That's everyone. That is the relegation scrap. I've got some good news corner this week before we...
Jack Simeon, come on.
So Jay Rodriguez
of
aforementioned Burnley sent a tweet out this week saying, "Nobody should feel alone during what is another difficult time. If any Twitter clarets are feeling low or you know anybody who needs support, my DMs are open. Drop me a message with as many details as possible and I'll help in any way I can. Let's all look after each other. Up the clarets." Very nice gesture. And please, everyone who's listening, don't abuse the fact that we now know that Jay Rodriguez's DMs are open. Keep it clean. But that's good, isn't it? That's good news corner. Good man, Jay Rodriguez.
How many people do you write a message him saying
Probably a lot, I think.
Probably a lot. How quickly after... I love it. I think it's a beautiful thing that he's done. How quickly...
I was going to say, this was tweeted a few days ago and I haven't checked that he might... Well, his DMs... I haven't actually checked whether his DMs are still open because there is a chance... There is a chance...
If they're still open, he's a mug.
That, you know, there might have been some people abusing that knowledge and, who knows? He may... he might regret it. He might regret it, Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's a great story.
A great way to end. So, all right, before we finish, any other business? I think that's the last of the agenda. Any other business? A or B?
Any other business?
Any for you? No. All right.
No. I don't know. I've run out of football. I can't.
There's no other business. I think. I'm gonna just.
Mesut Ozil. He's escaped. Mesut Ozil. He should have been treated a lot better.
I'm glad for him that this ordeal is over, and I think it's probably best that both have moved on now. I think Arsenal have. It was obvious that he wasn't going to get a game there, and they probably needed him off the wage bill. And Mesut, we can hopefully see him do his thing for someone else. Fenerbahce, which I think it seemed like become the inevitable transfer. It was inevitable a long time ago. I don't know why. It just seemed inevitable that was going to be where he would go. I don't know why. It just felt that way. So good luck to him. And look forward to hopefully seeing him. Give his magic wand.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah, everyone's a winner. Brilliant. All right, thanks. I'm going to get myself out of these leather chaps. They're weighing me down a bit. I need to take.
Yeah, I'm going to take them. They've trapped my Mr. Food.
On that note, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
So there you go. I haven't done one of these in a while, recorded separate. I just wanted to say thank you very much for listening, and don't forget to go follow us on social media at A Touchline Rant, everywhere you get your media socially. And thank you very much to Bendy Geddig Media for helping us get this podcast out to you each and every single week. Have a nice week. See you later.
Touchline rant. This is a touchline rant. A touchline rant.
The podcast you just listened to was brought to you by Anchor. Ever wanted to start your own podcast? Now you can by using Anchor. Anchor is great at anchoring and anchoring away at Anchor. So you can anchor all night long if you like. Anchor. Try Anchor.